Here. Yeah, there we go.
Whoa.
Everybody but this evening, we welcome you to our study session. Jennifer Zundel's excuse tonight, she's in the process of becoming your grandmother.
For the first time?
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
How many grandkids do you guys have?
12, 13.
One.
One.
Seven.
How many do you have, Dylan?
28.
You have 28? You have 28?
No.
Oh, I'm gonna say.
So I'm hoping everyone had an opportunity to look through the agenda for tonight's meeting to see if there's any questions that anybody may have.
I have a question about the replacing some of the technology at Newbridge. I didn't quite understand why replace it at Newbridge and then have theirs go to another school and get leftovers.
So the switches are relatively new because the school is relatively new, and they're newer than other switches in the district. And there's a big pile of E-rate money that would get lost if we didn't do this. And so the switches that were purchased during the construction of the school power the districts, and there's no limits to what we can do with it. We own it. But E-rate switches must be in the location that it was purchased from. So, so by taking out the...
And this is for 3 years?
The existing switches are purchased with construction money. So we would pull those out and put in the E-rate money ones and then give the 3-year-old equipment to other schools so we don't lose a bunch of E-rate money next year.
So what other schools, and why couldn't they get the E-rate money from the get-go?
Yeah.
When the Wi-Fi project was put in, the allocation was flat and not based on a student count, and so some schools don't have any E-rate money right now.
And so that's, they have a need, and they'll get the old ones?
Mm-hmm. When the Wi-Fi project was put in, a standard was applied to it across the district for every school that was audited on that we had to provide verification for. And what that did was drained the smaller schools down to zero. And so they don't have any more E-rate money to spend because they actually over allocated based on how it was presented to USAC, the Universal Service Company, federal agency, and so those schools have zero E-rate money to use. So by shifting what we already own and are free to do with what we want to do and using the E-rate money, every school benefits.
And is there a plan in the future to do more shifting? I mean, as that happens?
So my network and security supervisor went to an E-rate conference this summer, and right now there is no definitive answer that says E-rate will be around in 2 years.
Okay.
So the message he got was spend it now. And whenever they make the decision based on whatever federal government, Congress thing that happens, mm-hmm. In 2 years, we'll know, but they told him, if you got it, you have to spend it now, because we don't know right now.
When you do the new schools, are you planning on doing pretty similar technology with Newbridge?
Yes. We still will do like the one hotspot, like one access point per classroom, gigabit link to the back end, things like that, yes.
Any other questions with regards to that? Because I'm looking at the approval for the E-rate network switch upgrades. The first one, the budget is estimated $350,000, and we're assuming about $300,000 is going to come back. Reimbursement, is that correct?
Correct. We're doing it a little bit different this time than what we've done before. So if you look on the synopsis that I submitted, there's a thing called a service provider invoice. where the supplier of the switch is going to have the financial burden to get the money back from USAC instead of Ogden School District. So essentially, in the past, we would shoulder that $351,000 budget purchase, and then we would go back to USAC and get the 85%.
Mm.
And using this model, we only have to shoulder the $52,000, and the vendor would go get their money from USAC. So it decreases the amount of cash flow you have to have on hand to execute a project of the site.
Well, that's nice. And that's all those other switch upgrades are just all the same for different schools.
Correct. We actually put the service provider invoice as part of the RFP so that they would know, hey, if you want the rest of your money, you're going to need to go to USAC and work with USAC to get your other money on top of them for the $299.
And there'll be plenty of people wanting to do this.
Yeah, it's pretty industry standard HP switching infrastructure.
But as far as them having to go out and solicit their plans, is that relatively new, or is that just something we've decided to do?
The SBI program was something Mike learned about with his out-of-state travel, so he actually brought that information back. I don't know how long that program's been available, but he came back and said, hey, there's this really cool way that we could reduce our cash burden, and so we're going to try that on these five schools. It will be the first time we've ever done the SPI, but again, I don't have to shoulder the burden of, $351,000 for however it takes for the people to get money back and forth, just the $52,000.
Anybody else have questions on all those? Because it sure looked like that could potentially be something for a consent calendar. Maybe.
Whatever you would like, I would love to inform the public on the awesome things that we're doing.
It is on the consent calendar, isn't it?
I thought it was.
No, all these things are on the consent calendar.
Yeah. So, okay. Any other comments with regards to things for KC and technology? Now, I have a question regarding the gear up. What is your question?
Is it the Spectrum Red? Is that what you're talking about? You can ask yours.
Yours, like, oh, what do I ask?
Yeah.
It seems like we hear about this every year when it's time to get money. But
so our last gear up grant finished in November, and we reapplied over the summer, and we were awarded another gear up grant, so this will be our third one. We're just rolling it out. It's for our seventh grade cohort. It's intended to help students be college ready, not just graduate high school, but to get that rigorous completion and being college ready courses. That our priority are the STEM pathways, and that tech learning. So we'll be focusing on that a lot and getting kids involved in that process.
And it's a 7-year period?
It is.
Holy smokes.
From seventh grade through first year.
And when she said it means the seventh grade cohort, that's our entire seventh grade class of students throughout all of our schools.
Mm.
And they will receive supports their entire time with us. And then once they go to college at Weber State, they will receive supports there as well. And if they don't go to Weber State and go to another Utah school, they'll be tracked and receive some supports.
Now, who is it that would qualify for the gear up? Anyone that puts in for it? They have decided. They have decided all of them then.
Especially all of the students. There will be things for families, of everything. It's all inclusive. And it's for whoever comes in and moves in.
This is not the first year you've done it,
mm-hmm. No.
But this is the first year you've done it this way, with an entire cohort?
No. This is our first one was in 2008, and that was just a 6-year grant. Our next room was awarded in 2011, and that just finished. It was a 7-year grant, but the first time we went into college, it was really different. It was really different with all of those students. It's highly competitive, hard to get. We did lose our last two applications that we tried for, so we feel really fortunate to get this.
And our graduating class of 2017 was students in that graduating class were the first students that were tracked at Weber State, that recited supports at Weber State University, because they recited supports last year.
Can you?
So they received tutoring support everything while attending Weber State.
And don't they also receive it through 7th and 8th and as they go? I pretty much know what it is, but I didn't think it was the whole class. Can you sort of enlighten us on, at the school level, why it's beneficial?
There's case managers, and I'm going to like it, because Carrie's worked really hard to put this
together. Well, we're currently on this one, is we're hiring college career readiness teacher specialists. So they will teach additional sections of AVID. They will be more involved in the listening and action, and work side by side with the counselors. And be including all their trainings, working closely with Tim Peters on this, and Vincent, and so those would call PCR specialists, they will follow the students. So after they leave junior high, they'll be in the high school with them.
And it's not in isolation, it'll be integrated with already the services being provided with family use specialists and wraparound services. And we're going to really strengthen, one of our intents is to strengthen our opportunities for parents and parent engagement and helping the whole family. So
we have 19 community partners.
Yes.
Now, if I understood it correct, because we were obviously hesitant, that the parents can also get tutored in a certain area also. Is that correct here?
Parents get tutored. We encourage
they can come
them.
Along with it.
Well, we encourage
as we work with the families, if that arises as a need, we will then look at gear up funding, title funding, upgrading of our resources to provide that need for our parents. And we may even work and connect with our partnerships. Like one opportunity that we're very excited about is with Weber State's new building right across from James Madison. Their whole focus is to work with parents and families in the community to help the adults obtain GEDs and move on to further education. So it's not, I want everyone to kind of think it's not always just us providing the services, it's us connecting and partnering to provide the services as well.
Mm-hmm. And in the last two grants, we identified that the parent engagement piece is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really great at getting the kids to apply for college. We had 100% of them apply, many of them in greater numbers than FAFSA, greater numbers in registration, but that attendance and actually going to school, that's when they drop out because they don't have that support system at home.
And
so we're trying to identify that.
And it's an opportunity for us to, while they're with us and before they're in high school and seniors or juniors, helping the families to understand the process. And because, for example, our district Spanish translator and Latino liaison, she is the first to graduate in her family. And her dad to this day still believes that the government's going to come and want her to pay back her financial aid. Because he doesn't believe that you get it for free, you know.
I have a question. I was really impressed. I looked over your logic model and everything, and I liked the goals that were there. My question was, and maybe you present on this, I don't know, and maybe you'll answer this tonight, but what's in place in case those don't get met, right? So something like pass 2 years of math beyond Algebra 1, pass Algebra 1 by the end of ninth grade. Like, what if you don't reach that? Do you have a backup plan to come in and kind of assess what to do so that you can move on to the next goal?
Yes,
so that
with
the end is met. You know?
With our last cohort, we partnered with the university, had special math booster courses for them. We also hired tutors to help them with credit recovery. We placed, strategically placed tutors in those math classes and make sure their tutors are highly trained in the Abbotsford and are in higher level math. Most of them are students from other states. So
you have like a triage that sort of
we do have a triage because we try to look for that early warning. So we don't get to that. So we'll look in seventh grade, see how they are. And that's why that CPR specialist is there,
mm-hmm.
to just dig deeper, help those counselors side by side with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our student advocates, and we'll just work as a team.
And it's critical, the principal and the team at the school site is critical in that process as well. It's not, oh, the Garrett Grant's going to take care of all that. It's still aligned with what they put in place as well, and then we figure out how we can enhance it.
And there are summer programs
mm-hmm.
also.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and we integrate with our summer school offerings as well.
It's still our responsibility if somebody moves in the eighth grade or if somebody moves in the ninth grade, that we're the ones that keeps track of
mm-hmm.
the students.
There's extensive data.
Okay.
There are other types of grants. You have a state grant that's priority, so it's not every student in the cohort. And when they leave the school, they still have to follow them. Ours is strictly whoever's enrolled in our cohort at that time.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on that?
You'll hear more next month. You'll hear another MOU too approved.
There's several partnerships that are critical for the services in this grant.
Any other thing jump out at you? If not, I'm just going to mention number 10, the board meeting schedule revisions. We tried the no work session. Well, now we're going to try 5:30 just to make sure we're all here on time and anything comes up. Negotiating teams.
Can I just say something on that?
Please.
There's pros and cons as to whether or not a superintendent participates on those teams. I'm talking to superintendents across the state. While some do it, some don't. I think where ours is an interest-based bargaining, an IDB approach, it would be very appropriate to have the superintendent at that table as well. And so, if the board see fit, adding my name to that, unless there's some extenuating cons to it. Some of the cons that other superintendents refer to are,
yeah.
You want to be the nice guy. You kind of, you don't want to be involved in the.
Or people are hesitant to speak up.
Or right, or they may be hesitant to speak up. But at the same time, from my perspective, yeah, I think there's some pros there that one, I have another set of ears grounded in some of the discussion as to what our different groups are, whether it's classified or the teachers or the administrators, some things that they're facing, but certainly open to the consideration with, unless the board has a different
mm-hmm.
desire.
So those, we were the ones who did it last year, right?
So you're going to go with the same?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. We were the ones who did it last year.
Oh, okay, because that's what I wondered. It didn't really
Jessica
identify.
I had asked earlier this week if they were going to stay the same.
So you can see what she's proposed.
Correct.
I guess the question is, I didn't want to tweak it. So,
who's not here, so we can throw her under the bus. But Sonny or Doug, would you guys want to be part of the negotiating team?
Could you explain to me what it is?
Before
I say yes or
no.
Why?
It's after you say
yes.
Can put it the best way.
Okay.
It's after you say yes.
So, it's a series of meetings, so we start in January and we close. We try to get it done around May 10th to be on the last board meeting in May for approval. What it is we're looking at each different employee groups, so our education support professionals like our secretaries, custodians, also our teachers and our administrators. We
their procedural manual.
I started with the DSPs, and then I went over. For some reason, I was asked to be on the administrative. So, either one's fine.
For the administrative?
Yeah.
They really come in for me.
What did you?
The open SDAs?
They classify.
The teachers is 3:30 to 4:30.
This will be 7 years.
And then
to
the OESPA are usually 2 o'clock.
We started IPP.
Not you, but.
Change.
If you do it, can I choose which one?
Yeah.
Or do you do all of them? Do you do all?
No, you do. I'm
thing. I don't even care.
being the fact that it was on the health committee, I if someone else wants to be on the negotiating team, I'm happy to step aside. So.
You were on like OAA last year.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the principal one. So that one, the administrators, that one is typically on Fridays from 3:30 to 5 o'clock.
3:35.
My only concern is I'd have to have someone to watch my kids. So.
Me too, so I can
probably
do.
Yeah.
I could do the 2 to 3:30 one would be much easier for me if it's possible to do that one.
Can you see that from the UL last year?
The
OESPA.
OESPA.
What time do the other two meet?
So the teachers are from 3:30 to 5 o'clock, and they meet, I believe it's 3:30. I have the dates, but not the
dates. I can't.
Thursdays.
Okay.
I think you.
Thursdays.
Yeah.
Can we be so.
So, it's 3:30 to.
If you want me to be there, I'll
I
be there.
I could do the OESPA.
3:30 to 5.
The OESPA.
I could do the Friday.
Okay,
yeah.
So what I'm suggesting is that is to take my name off and add Sunny and Doug. And we'll just approve it at that, and then maybe we can work out the particulars as far as where they end up later. Will that work, Jessica?
Yeah.
Mm.
We need to make
can
that change.
Mm.
I would.
We'll just say we're going to add two board members and remove one. Let's do that.
And do we need to specify whether or not?
You know what, I would just say there'll be school board representatives and then we'll work on the particulars, a schedule, permit, and things like that. I think that's all right, okay. Administrative appointment.
Yes, we have an administrative appointment tonight. Looking forward to it. She will be working at James Madison. We opened it up. 2 weeks ago, right before Christmas, yeah, the position where we had an administrative intern there who is now at Auburn High, helping out Auburn High. And the intern that was at Auburn High is now at Ben Long, and this was originally recruited at the beginning of the year. James Madison is one of our highest impacted schools, and we're looking to invest additional resources in that school to turn some things around.
How do you want us to handle that tonight? Just approve it and then turn it over to you immediately?
Yep. Okay. Turn it over to me and then we'll invite her up and maybe have her share some thoughts, brief thoughts, if that doesn't put too many on. Would you like her to share a few thoughts, President?
It'd be nice to have her just tell us a little bit about herself, get to know her.
Okay. And then we'll just have her shake hands. And
anything else? Anybody else? Comments or?
Where is she from?
She'll show you.
Yeah,
do
I mean,
we
I
know?
She spent some time in Granite School District, I believe also Salt Lake School District, and before that a charter.
Okay.
For some time. So I think she was an admin intern in Granite, teacher in Salt Lake, teacher in charter.
Okay.
I want to have her pronounce where she got her degrees.
Yeah, that's what I should have asked.
That's what it was instruction for.
Veliko Tarvano? Tarnovo.
Okay.
Chernobyl.
So, and just a quick question, Highlands Auditorium, are they going to time it that they paint first before they do the new seats in?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll remove
we'll
the
pull all the seats out.
Yeah.
do a wonderful paint job and see if you have to.
You're not
going to
put
okay.
them in board store
gonna,
where they destroy.
Do the demo first. The demolition of the seats is going to happen, then the painting project, and then the install of the new seats. That's a good question. Well, where are the old seats going?
Garbage.
Yeah. All right. Recycle pile.
Yeah.
That's some solid iron.
We'd put them in Borgstrom if there were room.
There's
not
too many clothes.
Too many clothes.
All right, let's throw up. If there's nothing else, let's get downstairs.
You know, actually, I do too.
Yeah.
The other field trip, I'd love to go.
You can say, I've never been in there.
I've avoided it as well.
There's one.